Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're kind of a pre-Halloween Eve going on here, and we always like to do our pre-show, and we were talking about all different kinds of aspects of just traditions and rituals and just all the different kinds of stuff that's we're moving into the holidays, you know, and what does that really look like? And Amy was really great to come up with a bunch of these really good questions that we're going to be going through with part of the contest. So, Amy, how are you doing tonight? Pre-Halloween
about
scream.
Like that.
There we go.
About like that.
So, but, you know, is that a trick or a treat? Okay.
It's a little bit of both. Very good.
And Miss Elena is with us tonight. Miss Elena, how are you tonight? Are you going to scream too? We'll see.
No screaming, but I definitely am being tricked by Texas because I am freezing here today.
Oh, my gosh.
The weather.
Oh, my gosh. So. Yeah, we were
not
talking a little bit about the weather before
change.
We got here. It's funny because I was having a meeting this morning and somebody started laughing and she says, you know, because normally when you don't know what else to talk about, you talk about the weather. But there is a lot to talk about with the weather right now. So, you know, that's one of the things that we were talking about with that, having the whole thing with, so many things happening in our United States and the planet, just on a whole with between the fires and weather just being, you know, very different than what it normally is. So that's, again, some of these different things about looking into these just challenges. I was looking also at looking at change and, you know, just the anxiety factor of having it to where you just have this fatigue of, you know, fatigue and change, you know, and how do we able to look at that and be able to have coping mechanisms that really kind of help you. And I think the number one thing that it talked about was really seeking to come from having a silver lining with different things and coming from a place of gratitude. And boy, sometimes you just want to go on that, you know, with a raspberry. We were kind of doing talk of that on the pre-show about, you know, there's so much stuff and being, if you're sensitive and you're intuitive, there's just some days when you just feel so off. You're like, I don't know if I can, you know, raise the bar enough for me to be in a place where I can have that place. I mean, I always seek to be grateful, but when it comes to being able to have that silver lining, sometimes it can be a little hard to do. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's important to be authentic, yes, and to be optimistic, you know, finding that balance, which can be dicey sometimes. And I just want to make kind of, you know, a comment about Alana and the cold. We were talking earlier that the weather in a lot of parts of the country can be a real crapshoot for Halloween. It could be really hot or really cold. But one of the things we're talking about is ritual and how we prepare for it in different ways. And one of the indicators, I think, is weather, right? You know, it's cold there for you in Texas, but it also is telling your brain it's the fall.
Mhm. Yes. Well, we don't have fall in Texas. We have winter, we have summer, and then we have like a week or 3 days of like 70s, and then we have winter.
Well, there you go.
And winter is leafless trees and overcast skies. But that's okay. We still love Texas. God bless Texas. We're still going to love her for what she is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, California is the same, pretty much very similar with that. You know, it's 85, and then 2 days later, it's 57. So
mm-hmm.
when it comes to these kind of temperature changes with the leaves falling off and stuff like that, yeah, we definitely have that kind of a radical, like, it's summer, and now it's winter.
I remember moving into my dorm my freshman year of college, and that morning we were all in like super, you know, nice short shorts, tank tops. This was in the kind of the dawn of the new, you get to wear your tank top outside, you know, your sports bra as a shirt kind of, you know, look. And then by early afternoon, everybody was in sweatpants and sweatshirts. It was just like that drastic of a change within a matter of hours. And so I'll never forget that. It was just so shocking.
Wow. So we want to go ahead and jump a little bit into Amy had some great questions while we were planning this show, because it's, you know, what does Hollywood, you know, Hollywood look of Halloween is definitely different than a lot of places. But Halloween look for 2020, and really seeking to come from kind of just a different perspective. And Amy did a really great job of some of these questions to be asking people. So the first one was, what is your authentic self? If you could have a costume of your authentic self, what would that look like? So anybody want to jump in on that and say what they were thinking when we came up with that question?
Yeah, and then I want to back up, and then again, Alana's going to be all over if you don't do the nature wisdom. So we promise
we'll
do
that.
We're
going to
do
it's
that.
All good. Yeah, we're
so
going to go there.
I think Halloween, and Robin was with me, and her lovely family, her husband, and my two nieces, Robin's daughter. It seems like a million years ago, but we were at the Halloween carnival at Disneyland. A few years ago, and they had, you would get these cards when you hit a bell or something. And the one I got was, the right costume can bring out the real you. And I keep this in my office because I'm like, okay, what is the costume that I'm wearing? Now it's for the Zoom, right? Or for this meeting, for what? Even on a phone call,
waste
you
up.
Know, the
waste up costume. There you go.
Right. Customer service training says, right, even where what you're wearing, even if other people can't see, it affects you. So kind of looking at what is, and I think will be really fun. I'd love to have you both answer this. What now for me, I did go to a party. A good friend of ours had she called it her authentic self costume party. And I came as an angel, and my husband Ross came as a Viking. And we have probably the best picture of the two of us ever, which we use as our engagement party picture that it still holds today. And it really is true about who we are. So for you guys, what would you say if you today, I mean, it could be different days, but if for today, what would your authentic self costume look like?
Go ahead, Elena.
I was just thinking about of course, a banana, but that's not my authentic self. I think that my authentic self is more such a caregiver. You know, that is who I am to my core, as a caregiver, and whatever form that looks like, but that's really who I am, a caregiver.
You know, we used to have I don't know if Robin still has it, but there was this big heart costume that Robin would force different people to go out and wear to bring in customers to the flower shop. I could see you wearing this big heart costume.
Yeah, I even had a bow and arrow, so you can actually shoot love to somebody. It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I like it.
Of course, the first costume was a turkey, because I had when you dress up like a turkey and go wave at everybody, you know. So that was kind of a fun thing that we did. So Yeah, for me, I don't know why, but I just be kind of like a Mrs. Green Jeans with angel, like fairy wings.
Oh, I love it. That's totally you.
Yeah, so there's a magical component with all that, and yet, I've got the garden boots on, and I got my overalls, and I'm out there working with nature.
That's totally you. I love that.
Yeah, so that's what I was
thinking.
So that would be a great one for me.
And then what I'd love to come back to is each of us talking about what does Halloween 2020 look like for ourselves and our households and maybe our communities, however you want to frame that. But are you ready to go ahead and do the nature moment, Ross?
Yeah. So our flower power moment, we're going to be talking about pumpkin blossoms. And what's interesting in that is to actually create a pumpkin, you have to have a male flower and a female flower. And the male flower would actually come out on the vine first, and within a couple of days, the female flower would come out. And what's interesting is that the male flower will stay out and be in a place of flowering, but the female only comes out, and she's only literally exists on the vine for half a day.
Oh, wow.
So when it comes to being able to get pollinated, you know, they're very much making sure that the bees can see them and be in a place. It's interesting because nature is so interesting, because what the male does, he puts himself in the root, you know, where the route is, where the bees come back and forth. So the bee will see him go to his pollination and then go to the female flower. So she basically gets pollinated so she can create the pumpkin. So looking at that, yeah, and it's just, and she basically blooms. She comes out at sunrise, and then by about, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 in the afternoon, she's gone if she hasn't gotten pollinated. So I just think that's such a great messaging of coming to ourselves and having a sense of like who we are. And, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, we've all have male and female within us, and being in this place of being able to be in a place of being transformed when we allow the communication or the connection would be the, to me, it's like the bee of helping us to integrate everything to ourselves to be able to transform into something that would be, you know, the pumpkin. And I don't know why, but I'm thinking of the pumpkin, you know, in Cinderella, how the good fairy made it into this pumpkin, and then she was able to, you know, ride around in that at Cinderella, you know, being able to have that be something that would be, you know, a vehicle of transformation for her to be able to go and fulfill her dreams. How great is that? And coming from that, just, you know, expanding it out beyond what we perceive as just the natural way into something that can be transforming us in just supernatural ways. So there's, you know, that whole aspects of being, you know, seeking to come from a new place of balance. And I really love Amy's question about, you know, if I could be my authentic self. And that's the integration of, you know, all aspects of myself and really loving who I am and how I want to be in the world. If you really come from that place of that acceptance on all levels in all ways, you know, it just like, how can we not be something that can be transformational? And have it be something that turns into what we consider a creative, you know, medium of like, you know, just one thing that same Disney event that Amy and I had gone to, one of the things I really loved was going around and seeing the way that all these, what do they call them? The visionaries that, the mouseteers or whatever, the ones where all the artists are that they have, that Disney has, and have them where they had all these different artists just do these incredible things, and it was a pumpkin. You're like, oh, my God, this is a pumpkin. And I'm looking at just all this art that was coming from, you know, being able to use that as just this empty canvas that turned into something that was way beyond anything we could have imagined. So I think that's just something that you know, the pumpkin can hold for us. And it's interesting that pumpkin, you know, it's in the cuberic family, which is squash and cantaloupe, watermelon, cucumbers, and things like that. It's all these different wonderful fruits and vegetables that grow on a vine. And they all, you know, they all have seeds. So it's that seeds of potential that are always there waiting to be, you know, planted in the ground and being able to be, so just be prolific. It's just like sunflowers and all these other things. When the seed takes off and being able to do that. And it's so appropriate, too, that when you think of these kinds of fruits and vegetables, the way that they're always available in the late summer and fall, because it's coming from that place of, we had talked about that a couple of weeks ago about autumn and how autumn for a lot of the world is considered the new year. So it's all these seeds that are being placed in the ground so they can go through a dormancy of the winter and come up in the spring and just have a whole cycle of being able to regenerate themselves and transform themselves into the next great thing. So that's something that the pumpkin is there to just be the promise and of, you know, these blossoms of potential that are moving just from this new year and moving into the next. So what do you think of that?
I really like from what you're saying. That's mind-blowing in that, you know, taking something that whatever maybe you use just as a decoration, or maybe you make soup out of it, or maybe you make cheesecake. But also, how can you take it and use it in an art form of one kind or another? And then how can I take all kinds of things and do that?
Exactly. This is empty canvas that's basically, you know, just this invitation to be creating and being able to adapt and be creative. And I think that's something that Halloween is really good at, is being able to take just these simple things and creating this beautiful costume you know, out of just things that you find in being able to express yourself in a way that, you know, you might have never imagined before. What do you think, Elena?
Great thing.
You know,
cosplay, right?
Go
where
ahead.
People trying on different costumes, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, last year, my daughter Sophia, she is the artist of our family. She, you know, all of my children have artistic tendencies, musical or, you know, drawing or what have you, you know. But Sophia is really the one who's just truly an artist. And last year she went as, there was a meme, I guess, you know, on the internet. I can't remember what TV show it's from, but she dressed up as a nun with a briefcase, and she was none your business.
Love that.
Oh, that's so cute. None your business.
That is amazing.
So it was my favorite costume of hers, for sure. You know, just that
very
ingenuity
cute.
Of that. And so I took, like, some old clothes and some old robes. So she took her old Harry Potter robes, and we made a nun outfit out of it. I mean, we came up with that costume for probably 15 minutes. It was fantastic, but she just had a ball with it.
Oh, that's so amazing.
That's really cute. That's great. And it's just so simple and creative. Yeah.
So extraordinary out of it. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. She's so funny. And then,
so
this year,
this
year, I don't normally buy costumes. I have bought costumes before, but they're usually like secondhand from the thrift store or from a friend or something, you know, just because with five children, that was going to be too much always, you know, and I like to see what the kids can do whenever you tell them, you know, you're limited with these supplies, you know, and I mean, I can't tell you how many times I went as a hobo for Halloween as a kid, you know. This year, because we are doing things very different this year. We are not trick-or-treating. Avery has her tonsils. We'll be having her tonsils out, hopefully, on Monday. And so we're quarantined starting Friday. We are quarantined after she has her COVID test. And so we're not doing anything. We're staying home. We're hanging out, just us and the kids and the, you know, we're not going anywhere or doing things. So this year I said, you know what, you can get whatever costume you want. We'll have a great time with your costume. You know, it's, you know, saving me a lot of time and effort and money, not having to buy millions of things of candy, you know.
You can have a runway thing in the house. You can have a runway down the hallway. I mean, how fun could that be?
Yeah. We're gonna have trick or treat door to door, you know, inside the house. So we're definitely trick or treating still, but we're doing it just inside the house, and you know, we'll let the girls have a good time. But Sophie is going to be there's a new video game out. It's called Among Us, and it's about space workers, and one of them is an imposter, and the imposter runs around and kills all the other crew people on the game, so you have to figure out who the imposter is. It's a whodunit game, you know? And so she wanted to be, she got a NASA costume, and so she can be one of the space people. And Avery is going to be, I never know what she's going to come up with, you know? I'm just like, what is it? And it had to be like the specific one, you know? It was so funny. It like took us forever to find it, order it, get it here, you know? And, but we started early this year, which was great. And then Avery got enamored with an authentic looking Moana costume, and so she's going to be Moana from the movie Moana.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you're going to have your front porch light turned off, right? No neighbors coming in, because you guys really big time have to shelter. So it really, you know, really taking it inward, which I really love that. I think that's really, really cool. And how about you, Robin? Yeah. What are your rituals for this Halloween going to be?
Well, I haven't, you know, at the shop, I'm going to have some like prepackaged candy. So if anybody comes to the shop, because we usually have a few kids that come in to the shop for Halloween. So we'll have that available for people so they could just take it themselves. You know how that goes.
Right.
And, and I'll pretty much, you know, in the evening, I don't really have anything planned. My one daughter, she's going to be doing a game night, which is another couple friends of theirs, and they've all decided that they're going to have, you know, casual you know, for Katie, you know, anytime a dress up, you know, she's just anything that doesn't have like 16,000 parts and putting it together, like in cosplay, you know, she considers it casual. So she's going to be one of the prince. She's going to be the princess from Brave. You remember Brave with that?
Ooh, nice.
You know that?
Yeah.
She's like, you know, she said, would you play the game for me to change your destiny? Would ya? You know, so she's got this whole thing that she's doing with that kinds of stuff. So, and then my other daughter's got to work. So, but she's planning on dressing up like a, you know, like a good witch kind of a thing. And, you know, going to work and this being all dressed up and stuff like that. So I've got a dinosaur onesie I'm going to be wearing to work. So.
Nice. Oh, is it a little blow up dinosaur?
No. It's just like he's turquoise and purple stripes, and you know he's got the little ridge down his back and stuff with the tail and all that. So I'll be wearing him for my Halloween costume. Yeah.
So is that your authentic self,
yes.
Robin?
Yes.
So sometimes she's a Barney dinosaur. Sometimes she's I'm gonna just eat you dinosaurs. It just could go either way.
I have a cute story about Barney. My daughter, my older daughter, when she was little, she just loved Barney, and so we were cleaning out her room. I didn't think she was about maybe 10 at that point, and I said, "Did you want to keep your Did you want to keep Barney?" And she goes, "Mom, that's not Barney. That's Rex." She renamed him to make him okay for her life. I thought that was so funny. I went,
that's
okay,
hilarious.
Rex. Yeah.
Well,
Rex,
you know, Rex.
Okay. Like are we keeping Rex? She goes, yes, we're keeping Rex. But he's not Rex. He's, you know, he's not Barney. He's Rex. I'm like, okay.
See, there you go. Well, you got to change your name as you grow and evolve. I get that.
Yeah. So, you know, Rex is no longer with us. I think by the time she was about 15, he had to go. But, you know, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. That's all right. You know, it's like, yeah, she held on as long as she could. Good for her.
Yeah, really. How about you and Ross? What are you guys doing?
Well, we pulled out our Halloween decorations, which we usually don't think of until we're pulling out Christmas stuff. And then we're like, oh, we should have gotten this out. So we actually did. We got out our Halloween decorations. I have a Kuan Yin that's at the front door. Now she has on her Halloween witch hat. You know, and she has a little sign, a fun sign. So she likes to dress for different holidays. It makes her very happy, changes her hat and maybe the thing that she's carrying. And I think, you know, we're definitely going to be sheltering, so we'll have the porch light on, and I think people are going to respect that. But one of my favorite treats is pumpkin cheesecake. So I'm going to somehow or other figure how to get that, you know, a good piece of that.
Oh, I'm sure you can DoorDash that, go contact Cheesecake Factory and have it delivered.
I'm sure I can figure something out. So that would
sure
be
that
my...
That could be arranged. Yeah. That could be totally
so
arranged.
So, you know, so I think that, you know, so much of this whole, our focus on, you know, just everything changing and ritual, and I think we've gone kind of astray in our culture about rituals. Because, like, we haven't been able to go to church. We haven't been able to do a lot of things that kind of mark, you know, here's our day of Sabbath, or here's we stop and honor what, you know, what's going on. And so I think it's really great that we stopped, right, and talked about what does Halloween ritual look like for us. And so for the mindset moment, what really came to me is, like, what kind of rituals do you have in your day-to-day life? And certainly looking at the ones for, you know, upcoming events and holidays, you know, like a wedding, certainly, or, you know, an anniversary, or certainly we've got Thanksgiving. So I really want you to be thinking about what ritual will you set up for Thanksgiving this year. And that'll be fun to talk about, you know, and whatever, but in a future show as we're, you know, heading towards that milestone. But one of the, so thinking about my day, and we've talked about these four rituals that I put in my day, is I'm very committed to in the morning kind of visioning my day and kind of mapping out my day. And then throughout the day, stopping to have those Sabbath moments and really honoring what I've done and kind of going, ooh, I wish I'd done that differently. So now I get to, you know, take a nice break, kind of breathe and reset and do another moment. So I think, you know, rituals like when you, especially today, especially if you're working from home, especially if you're homeschooling, on top of that, you need to look at, am I actually officially starting my day, and am I officially ending my day? So, Alana, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about that. So I know I literally have my office has a door and it shuts because before I didn't have that in the other house and I never stopped working. So having the door, and I literally will shut the door when I leave, and I have a meditative gong that I hit it when I start my day and I hit it when I stop it. Otherwise, my brain just says, like, keeps going, and I've trained it to stop. So Alana, I'd love to have you talk about it, especially because you do have kids at home and you've got a bunch of different schedules. Are there ways you're doing things to ritualize? We're starting now, we're stopping now?
You know, I tried to do that at first. We did do some of that, and I've gotten off of it recently, but it really does help whenever I'm like, okay, this is how we're going to start our day today. Or, like lots of people, you know, a nice cuppa in the morning, you know, sitting down. One of the things that, you know, I do your intention action plan that you've given me, that sheet helps. But for the kids, I mean, you know, I haven't done it as well as I would like to. Let's just say that. But I love that having the gong in the morning and the gong, you know, in the evening, because that is one thing that you know, I've worked for at home for years, and so has my husband. And it is sometimes hard to just be done working, you know. And so I'll come back here after 5 and just into his closet office and just say, hey, you know, what time did you get off work today?
Right.
It helps to just know, to like to set a time, like I'm not going to work past this amount of time today. So that's kind of where, but I've found it very hard during this time to separate work time and family time, because I feel like I'm just trying to shove work into every crack I can get it into right now, because I've put my family as such a priority that not as much work is getting done.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
so
a
short
really
answer,
point.
No.
Yeah, and yes, in a way, you're trying, which I think is good.
Yes.
So I think, you know, and I know you're doing certain things. And I know, Robin, you're still, you know, doing work at the flower shop, and you do have people, you know, your husband's working from home, and you've got one daughter there and one that is going out of the house. So trying to have the rituals, mm-hmm. but we're working, we're not working, we're a family now, we're communicating. What kind of things are you doing?
Well, you know, that's one thing that my husband, Andy, he's really good about that. After about 4:30 in the afternoon, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and he's really good about when he takes a lunch break. He actually gets out of the house. He usually takes himself out for lunch, or they'll, you know, go out with one of my daughters and stuff like that. So I think that's something that's really good. I'm the one that's like, oh, gee, I got to work till 6.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
You're the problem.
We're from 6 in the, like 6 in the morning till 6 at night, depending on what I got going on sometimes. But, yeah, it can be very much of a – and then my other daughter, she's commuting, so it's that car ride that shifts gears for her. You know, when she's driving in and when she's driving out, she's got that kind of thing kind of going on. So I think it just really kind of depends on whatever. I know one thing is that it's very unusual for all of us to be home together, which usually happens actually on Sunday and Mondays. And we usually always have dinner on Sunday and Mondays together. We make
nice.
A conscious choice to be able to do that, because we know that's one of the rare times that we're all available, and I'll make some kind of a meal that's good for everybody.
And even thinking about the conversation that you're having that in that meal, I know one of the things that Ross and I work to do is, you know, we try to start our day with some, like, visioning, you know, what you got going on today, how do you want it to go? And then at the end of the day, so we can be there for each other. You know, are there any significant meetings you have that I just want to be able to, you know at that time that I'll be thinking about you? And then at the end of the day, you know, how did those things go? You know, what came out of today that surprised you, or kind of like, oh, my goodness, that, you know, you need to release a little bit?
Yeah, I love it whenever we probably have family dinner probably 4 out of the 7 nights, you know, a week, you know, where we all just sit down to a big meal, you know, not big, you know, an organized meal, let's just say that. And Avery being 7 really thrives on the whole, you know, she loves to be asked what she did today, how was school, those kinds of things. But I'm just like, even though we all know how she did today, we all know what happened all day. She still likes that normalcy of that conversation. And so one of the things that we like to ask in our family, what was the favorite part of your day? You know, what's the favorite part of your day today? And then she really likes to answer that question.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, like, you know, we were there and we kind of saw what was going on, but for her to be able to voice it and kind of speak for herself about what that was, I think that's I can see why she just really enjoys that, because it's a way that we're being able to share some part of herself, you know, with the family, and she feels comfortable and safe to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she's like, or if one of us, like, my husband will be on the phone and whenever he's not supposed to be, because I have a no phones at dinner rule, and, but sometimes he defies the rule. And but she'll go, can we have no phones and can everybody just ask about each other's day today? And so we're like, yeah, we can do that. We'll do that for you, you know. Because if it gets a little too quiet, then she's like starts orchestrating the conversation. It's pretty funny. So,
yeah, that's very cute.
She lost her second front tooth today, so she's fine. A tooth fairy is coming tonight.
Ooh, that's exciting. Will she have bib overalls on? Okay.
I don't know, but maybe.
Maybe.
So,
okay.
So that's
that was a quick half hour, guys.
We want to give to you is think about, look at this next couple of weeks and what kind of rituals do you have, and maybe you want to try some new ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that November 1st will be the Day of the Dead, so that's always a great opportunity just to kind of think of your ancestors and think about, you know, who might I, you know, look to in my path, you know, with my family that could be someone who could be an inspiration to me and maybe even seek some guidance. I think that would be wonderful to just how am I like that person, and, you know, what did they know about the world, and, you know, what can I learn from them, from their life experiences, and having it encouraging you to be able to move forward as well.
Well, I just want to throw one thing on the table. Our grandma Nielsen, we had talked about this before, that she, I knew from the day I was born, I didn't know it at the time, she told me later, but every day of my life, she prayed for me, and she did that for all of the children. And, I mean, what a great ritual that was, and I'm sure that was a significant thing in her life, and it certainly was in mine. So maybe looking at the rituals from the people who aren't here anymore, maybe some things that you miss or maybe you wish you want to incorporate into your life.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the overall theme of all this, you know, is just really, you know, seeking to be from, like, you know, maybe doing something in a creative way that's, you know, adapting into something that, you know, what did I like to do when I was little? And bringing that back in a new way for myself now, maybe being able to share that with other people. Because when you share things like that, it really helps to just bring it alive that much more, and being able to show, you know, other people your joy. And just being a place where you can really be in appreciating just the simple things. I think that's another thing that would be just a new way of everybody looking at having things just more simple and really knowing that, you know, this is really good just the way it is.
Yes. So happy Halloween.
All right. You girls have a good time, but don't get too crazy. You know what I'm saying?
All right, careful. That trick and treating.
Yeah, and next week we're going to have Miss Katie, our food guru, on talking a little bit about looking at COVID. So we're looking forward
to
that.
We hope you enjoyed
well.
Listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.